Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for life which you have given us. It is full of excitement and surprises. How wonderful it is that we were born for a time such as this. In Jesus' name, amen. The phrase, being born for a time such as this, comes out of the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. During that time, Esther was called upon to move out of her comfort zone and speak out for what was right and just. She was, of course, aware that speaking up for a righteous cause could have cost her dearly. The book of Esther describes how all of this occurred, that it was a good and brave deed that she did. Our Christian heritage and our Christian history acknowledges brave and righteous women, and this is a great contrast to other history and other cultures which have and continue to this day to view women as having a much less value than a man. We can be thankful that we have our Christian heritage which views men and women as both being important, as co-heirs, joint heirs with Christ and His kingdom. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the God of the Bible, and God's love is amazing. That we were put here for a time such as this is amazing. Look at all that we are witnessing these days. And sure, there are crises going on around us. There are events. It seems that things are changing all the time. Crises and changes are often challenging, and they help us to define who we are when we come against them or are faced with them. And how we show ourselves to be faithful to God is a part of it. Yes, our words do make a difference, but it is our prayerful and thoughtful actions which demonstrate who we are and how we belong to God. It is our free will choices. And all these crises and all these difficulties that are going on around us give us the opportunity to stand and to live for God. And that is why we can be thankful that we live in a time such as this, when there is so much going on around us. Last year, I noticed that on September 21st, it was the United Nations Day of their International Day of Peace, and they wondered what the theme for the coming year would be. And they decided on peace and safety. Now, for a few years before this, like maybe 5 years, there were many national and international figures or politicians who were repeating the phrase peace and security. And it was almost peace and safety, but not quite. They said peace and security. Now, this year, that is from September 21st, they declared that this was the day and the year of peace and safety. And those are just the same words that the Bible tells us to be aware of. That is in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and it reads, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So when I put this all together, I do, of course, think of what could happen, and that reminds me of preparedness. You know, like if there's a hurricane coming, we think of getting prepared. If an earthquake were coming, we would think of getting prepared. And have you been listening to the warnings lately? They say that a financial trouble is coming, that some of the people say it is a spiritual day of judgment that will be upon us. So when will all this happen? Ha! Yeah, we do ask when. Well, we in the Christian community, we do recognize that things could happen very quickly. And in the worldly community, it is also recognized. In the financial community, yes, there again, these situations of really big events are recognized. All these communities of people have forecasts about the coming cumulative troubles that have been made in the past and that they will come upon us. It is a calamity which they forecast, and it keeps pointing that direction, but it just hasn't quite come about. So maybe that tells us we should not be concerned because it hasn't happened yet. Ha! Yeah. Oh, maybe it is coming, but maybe it isn't. So what do you think? Should we see trouble coming? Should we be doing any preparedness? Well, we have gotten used to hearing warning bells going off. And what do? We have gotten used to the bells ringing, and we seem to do nothing. We just don't even pay attention to those warnings anymore. We've gotten so used to having the situations not occur, the troubles not occur, that everything we want we can get. We don't have to store up anything because we just go to the store and there it is. But speaking of store, there is a biblical principle of having a storehouse. But these days we don't even think a storehouse is necessary. It doesn't apply to us because we can just go to the store and get whatever we want. Well, I think that needs to be re-examined. We have the idea in history of planting in crops in the spring and having a harvest in the summer or the fall, and then preparing things to be taking us through the winter time. But all these principles have been forgotten because we just go to the store and get whatever we want. The principle of spring planting, summer harvest, and fall preparing for winter, it's all forgotten because it just doesn't matter anymore. We can get whatever we want, whenever we want. Well, I think we better re-examine that one. People of the world and governments of the world have forgotten this principle of preparing for the hard times, or you could even call it savings. It seems like the only thing we all know how to do is to borrow money. Let's finance what we need, and let's get into debt. That is the principle that is at work here, but at some point, it cannot continue. The governments of the world are all in great big debt. The corporations all over the world are in great big debt. And the individuals around the world also are in great big debt. You know, everyone is just about broke, but we just don't realize it yet. Even the banks The banks are having financial troubles. They're kind of broke too. And what does the U.S. government do? Well, they just keep their printing presses going. And that has kept our world going for many years, the fact that the United States prints so many dollars. And you know how government spends too much. It always has. I guess it always will. We are $20 trillion in debt. The debt limit just keeps going up and up and up. Remember million, billion, trillion? A million seconds are 12 days. A billion seconds are 32 years. And a trillion seconds are 32,000 years. Million, billion, trillion. And we have a $20 trillion national debt. I'd say we're pretty close to broke. Are we actually bankrupt? Good question. Well, it's my hope that by telling you about this, that you will be motivated to take steps to secure what you can in your own financial arena, your little area, your family, your home. And the steps that it takes to do this are get out of debt, pay off any debt that you have, and then instead have savings. Have savings. Keep supplies on hand for the just-in-case situation. That's another one. Too many Christians have said, in looking at hard times, that if I don't have supplies and if I die, well, that's okay because I know where I'm going. And yeah, that's true enough. Oh, well, I assume it's true. But don't forget that we are also called upon to be workers for God's kingdom. Here on earth, we are to help lead people to Jesus. And so to be here on earth, we need to eat, we need supplies, and we need things for ourselves and for sharing. That's what the world has in mind, I think, is to show kindness to people. That's what we do as Christians. You've probably heard somebody say that whatever is coming is okay, and that we don't need to have a storehouse. We don't need to have provisions because God will provide. Well, that is one point of view, but there are so many people who are cautioning that we should have supplies. Look at all the corporations that say that. Look at all the government services that are saying that. These locations will give you a list of what you should have. And it's almost always free. These free lists are worth looking over, and you make your own, because we all have our own thoughts about what is necessary, what is needed, what you want. But take advantage of these free lists. You can have the basics, which is, I think, very important: water, food, and supplies. Those things are just what you want to have on hand. In general, you will hear various financial people talk about the financial instability in our system, and they tell about things falling apart too. Probably the biggest one right now is the talk about Deutsche Bank in Germany. They talk about how precarious their stability is. That's what the financial circles, they're talking about nowadays. Not only Deutsche Bank, but other big financial entities also. So the thing is in the past years, Deutsche Bank has gotten worse and worse financially. There's concern that it will go bankrupt. It is cutting back on all sorts of things, and banks do go bankrupt. In the last years, there were 65 U.S. banks that went bankrupt. That's just in the 5 years before this. And for the 5 years before that, after the 2008 crises, there were 400 banks that went bankrupt. They went out of business. 400 is a lot of banks to go out of business. So they do go out of business. They do have trouble. Deutsche Bank could be one of those that does also go bankrupt. If that happens, that would affect lots of U.S. businesses and lots of worldwide businesses. They have their little fingers all over the place. in all sorts of things. They are cutting back for the last couple of years. They've been cutting back their expenses and their workforce. And here in the U.S., they have cut back 10% of their workforce, which means about 1,000 workers were laid off. It's expected that a similar thing will happen in Asia and other parts of the world. Deutsche Bank's profitability has been going down for the last several years, and especially in the last several months. When I think of that, I think of David Wilkerson. He had the vision from God a couple of decades ago, and he talked about there being a worldwide recession or collapse, and that it would start in Germany and then spread to Japan and the United States and then the rest of the world. Sounded like that was going to happen in very short order from one place to the other. Well, Deutsche Bank is a German bank, and that's where it is in, located in. So it could start with Deutsche Bank. And there's other concerns in this world also. There's all sorts of things going on. Troubles. I mean, just look at the things going on with in the Middle East. We have Iran in that situation. They are saying that the United States cannot pull out of this nuclear deal that they say was an agreement. And if they do, they're going to talk about names and of U.S. people, U.S. politicians, and how they were accepting money and bribes. That's what they say. Can we trust them? I don't think so, but they still can have something to say. We have this big thing with Israel coming up, too. It's the 70th anniversary of Israel becoming a state. See? A part of that is the United States Embassy in Jerusalem. And what's going on? There's tens of thousands of Palestinians protesting in the streets because they don't want the U.S. Embassy to be moved to Jerusalem. It's all very volatile, the whole situation and the whole region, not just Israel and Palestine, but the whole region. The countries all around it, from Turkey to Iran and from Syria and all the in-between. All those countries are volatile. Anything could happen quickly. Syria is a country in between all the others, and it is the country that there is a war being fought inside of. It's probably about the natural gas pipeline and the oil pipeline that are scheduled to go through it, or not. It's just one of those things that it just could be a big development. Oh, and then there's Damascus, Syria. That's the oldest and longest continually occupied city in the whole world. And Isaiah 17:1 says that Damascus shall be a ruinous heap before the next war. Now, as I look at Damascus, I think it could be a ruinous heap right now. In fact, that's my opinion. It is a ruinous heap already. So that leads to the thought that there sure could be a war any day now. And in Syria, there's thousands of foreign military fighters already there. Think of the Russian troops there. Think of the U.S. troops there. Iran has troops there. IS, which is Islamic State, has troops there. And probably the Turkish do too, and probably the Kurdish do too. Plus, there's Syrian troops. Oh, there's military everywhere. Just think how that could erupt into a catastrophic situation. And just a couple of days ago, Israel bombed from the air. They bombed 50 Iranian military sites in Syria. So you see, something is going on. Will it turn into a war? It sure could. World War III? It sure could. Does anybody know it? No, but it sure looks like it's possible. And you remember what Albert Einstein said when he was asked about World War III? He said, "I do not know what weapons World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones." Isn't that interesting? It is interesting. It shows you that we are in a precarious situation. And there again, that just leaves me to say, hey, look out, prepare. But we all see it different. I see these are all signs of the times. And it doesn't mean we're supposed to just give up. It means we're supposed to stay strong in the Lord and be here and do His will. It reminds me of that song, "Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching Off to War." No, it's not off to war, it's as to war. Yep, so we might think of it off to war, but it's not off to war, it's as to war, which means we're supposed to be prepared for that spiritual battle. Not an actual war, but just be prepared for that spiritual battle. And just because we're Christians, it kind of means we're going to be attacked. You know that's just the way the world is. Lots of religions get attacked, but especially Christians do in other parts of the world. Christians and Jews, they are actively attacked by Muslims and Hindus too. Sometimes in America, but mostly in other countries. From Africa to Egypt and from Iran to Indonesia. So, it's just the way the world is. It's the system the way it is, and we can expect attacks because that's what we're told to expect. We are going to be hated of the world because Jesus was hated. They hated Him, so they'll hate you. Well, we do have some little influence, and that is something we should try to be concerned with. But the world is the world. And there's about 55 predominantly Muslim countries in the world. And there is no freedom of religion in those countries. Christians and Jews can be harmed in many ways. And they often are. They're often burned out, or having had violent crimes done to them. And that's just the attitude, that's what you do to Christians and Jews. Or there's another solution in those countries, and that is that those Christians and Jews must pay a special income tax called the jizya. From what I understand, it can amount to 10% to 30% of their income for the year. And if they have no income, then they have to pay a portion of their assets or possessions. And they have to be humiliated. And that means they have to know that they are subservient to the Muslim population. They have to cross the street if a Muslim person approaches. That's the law in these countries. It's so unfair. And here we are in America. It's a lovely place to live. America. It is full of freedom and compassion for people. And that's because of the strong presence of our Christian religion, our Christian God, Jesus. I know there's so much intolerance in other parts of the world. It's hard to comprehend that it really is that way. But if you read, or if you've visited those countries, or you've talked to missionaries, you know that it's true. It is the world is so set against Christians that it's just hard to believe. So we should pray with thanksgiving for all the good that we have. And we should pray for God's protection, not just for us, but the other Christians of the world. Prayer. Prayer, prayer, it's so important. So here we are in life. We have challenges. And we can be thankful that we have our Christian God and that He has the significant characteristic of love. And that's why our Christian culture has more empathy and compassion in general, more of these qualities than other cultures. It's because of our Christian heritage. So we are to show love for the souls of others. And that causes people of the Christian religions to stand out. We have missionaries. We send them to other countries to help people and to build hospitals and develop water supplies and things like that, that are just showing loving compassion for other people. And that brings many people to know the love of God through Jesus Christ. And because of that, it sets a population at odds, where the Christians are the enemies because they're getting more popular, more respect in a community. So it's just something we deal with. We have compassion, and compassion is another form of love. And love is very different from Darwinism. Darwinism promotes the survival of the fittest. And you could call that a kill or get killed orientation to life, Darwinism, because with that perspective, it allows people to be dominant. That's why the elite favor Darwinism. It's because it allows them to justify whatever they're doing, for whatever reason they may want. It might be because they want those things that we call sinful, or they might say it's for their own survival. Well, that's why Darwinism is so popular. But take this this examination and see why the rich, the powerful, the elite, why they want Darwinism to be taught. It gives them permission to be ruthless. And of course, we Christians would rather have love and compassion in the world. So it's a struggle. Life is a struggle. But we want to follow the principles of the God of the Bible as we struggle and pray. Prayer is so important. Please remember to pray. There is also a struggle between civilizations, between orientations or philosophies. And there have been quite a few historians with the observations about civilizations. It has developed, but there's it's been a little chart that some of the ancient historians have noted. And there's another one. There's a historian today called Jim Nelson Black, and he wrote a book, and he put a couple of other things in there, that nations die when there is social decay and cultural decay and moral decay. Social decay includes lawlessness, a loss of economic discipline, and rising bureaucracies. Cultural decay includes a decline of education, a weakening of cultural foundations, and the loss of respect for traditional values. And moral decay, that includes the rise of immorality, decay of religious belief, and the devaluing of human life. So those were his observations in general, but there's this list that describes stages of a civilization. And you've probably heard of this one before because it's been around for centuries. There's bondage. The first stage is bondage, then spiritual faith, then courage, liberty, abundance, complacency, apathy, dependency, and then back to bondage. Now, I think this list applies, so I'm going to read it again. Bondage, spiritual faith, courage, to freedom, to abundance, to complacency, to apathy, to dependency or entitlement, to bondage. So that's a cycle that just goes on in all civilizations. And we are a civilization. The historians have noted that it takes about 200 years for this cycle to complete itself. And we, from 1776 to 2018, that's 241 years. 240 years. So we're a little overdue. And it makes me wonder what our future holds. Oh, it's going to be interesting. I wonder at the same time how hard it has been for me to get my supplies together for the just-in-case things. I know that it's not easy to get supplies together and figure out what you need and then to get them. But I think supplies are valuable for that just-in-case situation. It's not that you need the best of anything. You just need a few things on hand. And you probably will never have everything you want. I think the only people that have everything they want are the military and the government. And they pay people to look at these things, and we just don't have that kind of time or energy or money to buy the things. But I think that if everyone does something, then if there is a time when we need those supplies, we will be able to help one another. And we will probably have a small or moderately small community, and we can show our compassion and love for one another by sharing what we have. That's what we do. We care for each other. That's what Christians do. And it reminds me of this poem which Paul in Paradise sent me, and I'm going to read it now. It's called Whispering Sounds. It was a warm day. We gathered in the shade for those in need. We held hands and we prayed. I felt the power flow through our hands. I felt like everyone understands that the love of God was meant for us all. Pray for your friends. Pray for your enemy. We bow at the mention of his name. I think of sorrow, sadness, and shame, for it was all of us that he came, tortured to death, and take away our blame. And we are here now, knowing that the day is on its way. The whispering sounds of prayer. So we are Christians. There's different things that touch our hearts and our minds. And a part of that is prayer. And often enough, songs and poetry touch us, our hearts and our minds. It reminds me of Colossians 1:27, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And how do we make that hope sure? It's by loving God enough to follow his commandments. That's what I think. So as Christians, we hear this and we hear that, and You have to read things for yourself. Read and discover the Bible. It's our holy book. You can read it and believe it one way or another, as sometimes people do have different beliefs, even based in the Bible. Even pastors have different beliefs based in the Bible and the written word. Well, don't worry about what anyone else believes. Be concerned about what it is you read. Be concerned about your understanding. That's what matters, what you read. And it's important that you read God's Word for yourself. It's important that many people, it's so important that many people have died just to get His Word through the Bible to us in a language that we can read. They've given their lives for it, so that we can read it today. So we can live and we can die demonstrating our faithfulness to God. It's a good thing. And we have to be grateful that God gave it to us, and he gave us a path to him in eternity. That place is commonly known as heaven. And that's the choice we want to make. We want to choose heaven, not the opposite. Hell. Hell is a place that God made for the fallen angels. And it has been enlarged to be a place where people go who disregard God's will. I recently watched Bill Wise again on a video. He gave his 23 minutes in hell lecture. It jars you into a new awareness. And I've heard other presentations from other people who spent just a few minutes in hell, and it is powerful. Hell is a place where there's no mercy. There's just torment. The screams of millions of people in hell, it's very loud. There's bad air, there's no water, and there's no sleep. Just the demons who torment you. They rip your body apart, and you feel it being ripped apart, but it heals again, and they rip it apart again. See, God wants us to go to heaven, not hell. So let's live for God. And surely that you will get help from God to do this. But the big thing is understanding who he is, reading his word, and being in prayer with God. We want that eternal reward. We want to go to heaven. That's where we want to be. So let it show enough that you care about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Read his letter to you. And then you'll be able to see what it takes to get to heaven. And let me encourage you to check that out for yourself. Be a part of determining for your own self how important it is and what you need to do. Be sure of that answer. Read it for yourself, because a lot depends on it. I mean, your eternal location depends on it. So now there are different people with different opinions, strong opinions on this matter. But as with so many things, we get to answer this question for ourselves. And for that answer, we need a little bit of information, and that's why we should read the Bible, because that's where God wrote his word. And sure, there's lots of people who know it, but read it for yourself. Care enough to read it for yourself. Make sure that your eternal destiny is in heaven with and through Jesus Christ. So the answer for me is do everything you can to get there. I was listening to Chuck Missler the other day. He was on video, and I'm still sorry that he passed, but he sure left a lot of good works behind. He made this video called America's Current Predicament, May 13th, 2013. And he said that there were two questions that he is most frequently asked. And those questions are, why was the United States not in prophecy? And the other question is, why hasn't God judged America yet? So on this video, his answer was in the form of this poem, and I'm going to read that poem. You call me eternal, and then do not seek me. You call me fair, and then do not love me. You call me gracious, and then do not trust me. You call me just, and then do not fear me. You call me life, and then do not choose me. You call me light, and then do not see me. You call me Lord, and then do not respect me. You call me master, and then do not obey me. You call me merciful, and then do not thank me. You call me noble, and then do not serve me. You call me rich, and then do not ask me. You call me Savior, and then do not praise me. You call me Shepherd, and then do not follow me. You call me the Way, and then do not walk with me. You call me Wise, and then do not heed me. You call me the Son of God, and then do not worship me. When I abandon you, then do not blame me. Well, that's quite a poem, isn't it? Ooh, it looks like this is a poem day, because I'm going to read another one from a local man. He said I could read it on the broadcast, and so I am. Respect and honor seem to be dead as murder, rape, and godlessness surges on ahead. We replace God with evolution. We're animals, it's said, and the gross result of violence seems to quickly spread. This is the creation of our rampant degeneration. It is all an indication of the downfall of our nation. Immorality in unscrupulous society, total lack of conscience, an absence of propriety. And what I ask, what can the end result be, other than the judgment of our country and an end to being free? For it's self-governing and morals that freedom's built upon, and the ability to judge what's right from what's wrong. We must step to righteousness, all of us a throng, or our country won't be free, at least not for very long. For freedom can't exist when we, our nation, our actions can't control, and we then need a higher power over us to rule. People ruling people seems to take its toll, till there's a desire to dominate, till there's domination full. Throughout history, tyranny has ruled. It's happening again. Again, it's taking hold. We're trading freedom for protection, and rights, our rights are being sold. We think this makes us safe. I'm afraid we're being fooled. It all starts very small. It creeps along so slowly. It seems only to crawl, until it's suddenly restricting. It's a giant very tall, and it keeps on squeezing till there is no freedom left at all. Earnestly I urge you, consider what I say. Look at all the proof of society's decay. Perhaps we can still do something if we start today. But if we don't, there's a price we and our children have to pay. Look at all the tyranny around us that's displayed. Think of all the laws that there are daily being made. Few are speaking out, for many are afraid, while there's many unaware of this deadly game that's being played. What should we do? The answer lies with you, though I fear that if we hesitate, our liberty is through. Consider what I say, decide if it's true. Serious poem, isn't it? And here's another. Evil is abounding, ignorance surrounding, judgments coming soon. our once great nation's ruin. Deceptions growing rampant, righteous men stand passive. Darkness slowly conquers as evil grows massive. Spiritual bondage sets in, conquered by our sin. If we continue on in silence, tribulation will begin. It's time for prayer and fasting. It's time we must repent. We must turn back to God. Peradventure, He'll repent. Not repent, relent. It's time we become serious, for judgment speeds our way. Depravity has grown to power through righteous men's decay. Knowledge turned against us. Men start serving self. God's been set aside, the Bible left upon the shelf. It's time for us to wake up, to stand up and choose a side, to stand with determination upon the paradigm we decide. Now's the time for choosing. Choose where you will stand, for even now wicked forces have begun to claim our land. Pray with renewed vigor. Search and seek God's faiths. Study Scripture. Become heirs of God's great grace. Time is short and fleeting. Time is nearly gone. Stand and choose a side. Which side will you stand upon? I tell you, those poems just kind of affected me. And so I thought I would share them. You know, there's one more. I'm going to read one more. Let's not be fooled, beguiled. Let's us not forget. We're in a spiritual battle. There's a target, and we are it. Let's not cease to walk with knowledge. Let us sober stay alert. Least through lack of caution, we fall and sustain hurt. Circumspect, keep watching, understanding, watch with care. Least you are conquered through deception or defeated unaware. Study with prayer and fasting. Beware you're not deceived. Be careful you're not in error in things that you've believed. Remember, deception is raging, and it might be that we are in the strong delusion, causing the falling away as foretold in prophecy. So watch and search the Scripture, lest you believe a lie. We are given Scripture for protection. It is there to be our guide. There's a reason it's been given. It's given us to read. That way we aren't led astray, as some seducing spirits lead. Let us not lose perspective, losing sight of what we can't see, the sovereignty of the battle raging around you and me. Let us keep our eyes on Jesus. Let Him our strength and solace be. Let the Word be our mooring anchor, lest we drift into apostasy. Let us be ever watchful, careful. Remember, there's an enemy trying to capture and deceive you, blinding you in bondage to burn with him eternally. remember, watch, be wary. Led in conjunction with God's Word. If it doesn't align with Scripture, don't believe what you have heard. Study. Search the Scripture. Beware and stay alert, lest through a lack of study you fall, ending greatly hurt. Be prayerful, thoughtful, careful. Be watchful, faithful too, lest through lack of caution Satan gains hold of you. I heard these poems and I liked them. I hope that my reading was adequate of them. But these poems, they speak to me of God's love and His holiness, and that you must turn to God and you must turn away from anything which is not of God. We must live holy, and along with that, we must be born again. It is a spiritual transformation. That's what we seek and desire. That's the message of the gospel. Become born again. Become a new creature in God. There's lots of things going on these days, and in them we can see God's working. But we ought to look prayerfully, because our prayers make a difference for all the things around us. And that's what we want to remember. We want to remember to be in prayer, because that's our form of communication with God as we go about life, every day, in every way. All throughout life, we should see things and realize that this needs prayer or doesn't. We can have a thought and realize that we could pray for someone. There's lots of people who need prayer. So many people who just have a situation in life that they need help and healing with. So many people who are just in the straits of difficulty as life goes on. And we need to pray for them. First for the souls that they find Jesus, but also for their situations. And it's incredible how many people don't know God yet. And I'm gonna recall a true story that about a year ago there was a guest on Christ Today, and he was a missionary to the Philippines. And he told that there were still many people in the world who had never heard the name of Jesus. I found that hard to believe. And I questioned him about it, and in response, he told me the story about when he was a missionary in the Philippines. So that would have been probably happening within 2 years from today. And so he went up to a man on the side of the road, and the missionary asked that man about Jesus. And he asked, "Have you ever heard of Jesus?" And the man replied, "Jesus, I have not heard, but Coca-Cola, I know." Yes, that little story surprised me, and it reminded me of the work that missionaries have to do, how important their role is. There is still a great void in the world that can be filled by Jesus. So many people who don't know Jesus yet, they haven't heard His name. I was surprised, because in our country, Jesus is so common. Knowledge of the Bible really isn't, but we do know there is a Bible. But there's a whole world out there where people can be told about Jesus, and that is something we can all pray for and about. the name Jesus is heard throughout the world. We can pray for the missionaries who go into the world always they don't have enough preparation, they don't have enough things, and that's something that we can not only pray for, but we can donate to missionaries. There's so many just doing the work of God and barely getting by. Lots of people have troubles in life. That's the way it is in the world, and that's the way it is for Christians too. And it helps us to go to God in prayer and ask Him for solutions, and then He surprises us. Well, surprise, sort of, but at the last minute, we get surprised. I often wish that we could know sooner, but He often waits till the last minute to get our answers given to us or the situation resolved. But that's just the way it works. That's what builds our faith, is that we don't recognize that something is going to be resolved, and then it is. There's so many situations now and in history. We can look them up. We can look them in the Bible. We can look at them in all of our situations. It's just the way God has created our existence to build our faith. There's so many things, and there's amusing things too. Oh, amusing. Hey, this is one of the things I heard a few days ago, that the shortest distance between a problem and its solution is the distance between your knees and the floor. Well, I guess I found that funny. Maybe you did too. It's funny and true. And the one who kneels to the Lord can stand up to anything. Well, we want to live in holiness, we want to love one another, and we want to grow spiritually. We want to live honorably among the unbelievers and the believers alike. So that's a part of what we are to do as we go through life. And what do you think? Well, does God use us to do His will? Let's say yes, Lord, and let God use us. We do. We want to allow this to happen. So we say yes, Lord. So we daily walk with God. That's what we want to do. That's the desire of our heart. In this world where there is a battle going on between God and Satan, we want to be a soldier in God's army. It's a spiritual battle, and we want to be called to act, to love God and to do His will in this physical world. That's what we want. And so that's what we pray for, all the opportunities to do this. And we get surprised at the things that God puts before us, and then we say, yes, Lord. it's full of surprises. So I want to thank you for all your support of Christ Today. And do remember that you can always reach me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I'll say that again. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Always, your writing is appreciated. You might have subjects or ideas for me to talk about, or a poem to read. And I also am available by email at prepareforgod@usa.com. prepareforgod@usa.com. That's all lowercase with no spaces. And I always want to thank you for listening. Perhaps you will want to hear the poems again. And if you do, you can hear them again on christtoday.org, www.christtoday.org. And then you can listen to the broadcast again, or any of the other past broadcasts. And until next week, I wish that you will walk with God, and that God walks with you. The poor
to every nation. Yeah. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send a check to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.